Blog Talk Radio.
It is Sunday, October the 30th, 2016, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time in America. I'm Grantham Taylor Hughes for my show, The Grantham Taylor Hughes Show, with my guest host each week, Gabriella Foster. Hi, Gabriella. Happy Halloween, even though we're a day early. Sorry.
Yes, happy Halloween. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
You know, I always celebrate Halloween, right?
Is that when they carve out the middle of trees? They hollow out the trees?
Uh-huh. I guess.
Is that what they do?
So do you know the history of how Halloween got started?
Well, go ahead. I'd love to hear it.
No, I'm not going ahead. I'm asking if you know it.
I have. Well, there's a lot of rumors. Rumors has it. So... you're asking me because you don't know? Is that what it is?
Well, I used to know. I don't have a memory for it right now.
I see.
But so I think it had something. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say in the church, of course, in my opinion, and I know the Catholics will beat me up for this, do they make everything up and hardly anything is in the scriptures, but they call it the All Souls Day. You see what I mean? And then the next day is All Saints Day, right? So it has to do with those particular holidays in terms of their religious backgrounds. I know that business. But then it got into the more than mercantile things. And so it has sort of the Day of the Dead type business. That's why they do all that type of business. So it's related to that. I was just bringing it up because we're a day before, and I really wasn't wanting to get into that particular discussion because I'm not that knowledgeable in the whole thing, and I don't want to be.
But I was just curious as to, you know, when did this trick-or-treating thing start? Because I know I did it as a child, and I think you probably did it as a child, right?
That's true. Well, it's old. I know it's an old tradition. I just, like I said before, I was just bringing it up because it was the day before, and I think it's appropriate not to be too glib about it, I suppose, because some people get really serious about it. The joke I make about it, 2 years ago, I thought it was one day, but now it's the entire month of October, so that's kind of a jest that I make. However, having said that, Christmas starts in August, so what happens, you skip all the other holidays in between. Like November is now Thanksgiving, the whole month, right? But the merchants love it because then they promote all their wares, so I'm not begrudging that. If anything, it helps them out in terms of not just one day out of the year, right? Christmas in August. And I saw it in stores. They put out the decorations, and one of the clerks, I said, "Where are your Christmas decorations?" And she goes, "Shh," like that, and she tilted her head back behind her. I went, "Oh, God," they were on the shelves, you know, the Santa Claus and all that. I went, "Oh, man, this is in August, right?" So I went, okay. So I'd been seeing that for the last several years. So having said all that, what do we do here each week? Oh, well, we're supposed to be talking about our wonderful topic of the international bankruptcy, right? Oh, my gosh, Gretchen, we have to bore us each week with that. Well, you know, I usually don't, right? If I ever get to the topic, if I'm lucky, right? If we're lucky. Maybe we're not so lucky, after all. I see. Or it's really this, isn't it? Like that. In America, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I think that came from the bovinity of the fields, where the cows go, like that. And I said, just add a couple O's on there and go, okay?
Right.
All right, so we talk about
Is that your patented laugh now? You changed your laugh. Now you're going, hee-hee, like that.
Well, you make fun of my laugh, you know, in private.
Of course I make fun of your laugh.
Yes. I just had I had that, ha-ha, which was Burt Reynolds stole that from me back in the 70s, you know. And I quit doing that. Not, I don't think because he was using it, but that was my laugh, all right? Maybe I'll resurrect that one. Because Bert's older than I am, I suppose. Having said all that,
yes, I'm sure.
We'll actually probably get to something pertinent, you know, perhaps. I'm trying to turn off my other phone here. It's really loud. Okay. Anyway, sorry about that.
Yes.
I truly apologize. for that interaction.
Do you?
I put that on silent.
Okay, that's good. As long as you've apologized.
I did apologize. And so we're being responsible here. As long as you apologize for your technical mishaps, right, that we have occasionally. Not always. Well, maybe we do. And I apologize for all our editorializing and the terrible jokes we tell on our show. But I won't do that because I don't want to. Anyway, so what we try to discuss are the planks of my platform, which are the platform of the bankruptcy, which is a lovely title for the platform. And I have health, sovereignty, proper sovereignty, because then that's coming under fire these days, because in the courts they're condemning the judges with their sovereignty business. In other words, they're ramming sovereignty down their throats, and they don't appreciate it. So then they get into this big firefight and arguments. Anyway, so I'm not into that. You know, just everybody know that we're trying to educate people. All right, so that's sovereignty, proper sovereignty, which I put an adjective on that because sovereignty has this issue these days. Then we have solvency, which we came to the conclusion it's a great idea, but in practice never works because of the monetary system, they can't measure it anyway. And number four would be afianchetto, which is the old plank that I was talking about 10 years ago in reference to not putting people above profit, right? In other words, you're going to drop buildings, evacuate, you see? And now it's getting so far away from that whole business that in terms of, I think people can understand, we have economic demolition. The things have to be, the buildings and assets need to be done away with if you can't turn a profit with it, you see. But in the process, don't have the people in the way. See, move out of the way when we drop a building, you see what I mean? And the reason why they don't really explain that is because they don't want to, I say they, it's the revelation of the way things are. And I think, and I'm always saying, because my slogan is to work with and not against things, and that's why I'm still here, because I really believe that we can educate and teach people because they want it. People want information, but they want it clear and concise and precise, and I think we do a good job on this show because we have a lot of people on our certain calls we have weekly in groups that we get together and discuss these things because people want the simulation, they want the truth, or as we see it, or try to pursue it, if anything. Or as one of my dear friends said, you pursue excellence, and I really appreciate that, too. There's a great wisdom in that, you see. Yet, like I said, you can pursue perfection, but you can gain excellence, you really can, at that moment in time. So I really appreciate some of the great wisdom that comes from some of my friends and participants that are involved with our groups and what have you. So that's a little bit about what we do here. Since I'm finished tonight, I'll see you later. Bye, Gabriella. Now you can do the rest of the show.
It's been a nice evening. Thank you very much. Okay, folks. So here's what we're going to do for the rest of the show. We're going to have a trivia quiz.
A trivia quiz, right? Oh,
yeah.
It's going to be very trivial, right? And everybody will go to sleep and get a nice nap for the next 20 minutes, right? Or like years ago, when they first had cable television shows, they'd buy time, right? People would buy time on it. At that time, it was like $100 an hour. Not too bad, right? So I remember seeing a fellow. He got up on the stool, and he starts to say, hello, everybody. And then he falls off the stool, lays on the ground. They have the camera just having him laying on the ground for an hour, right? It's really awful. Novel, but awful, you know? It's really terrible.
Well, do you know,
oh,
go
ahead, I'm sorry.
I think it was probably about 15 or 20 years ago, they made the film of David Beckham, the really handsome soccer player. They made a short film of him sleeping.
Oh, really?
David Beckham asleep.
Pathetic.
Yes, they actually made a film about it.
Yeah, promote anything, right? Get away with it if you're a celebrity.
Yeah.
Yeah, just show a picture of their shoes or something as you're walking by. These are David Beckham's shoes. You know, he's walking by. We get a shot of it. Yeah, ridiculous. Well, there you have it, you know. Promote anything and sell it, right? Or as my favorite slogan in Silicon Valley was, if it barely works, sell it, right? That's what it became, was a real joke in terms of product there. And mostly IBM was the culprit, not to step on their toes. But you see, years ago, they were actually making products, and you know these stories, on purpose that worked badly. That's partly where the straw man thing came out. IBM was making whole divisions and departments, and they would go out to these COMDEX. COMDEX wasn't really about IBM, but they had these big fairs and computer fairs, and they have these whole sections in the booths and what have you that were all machinery that didn't work. It was really terrible, and they had really terrible labels on it. It looked like they were stick-on labels and things. It was really terrible. But people actually bought all that junk, you know. But they did it on purpose because it was part of the planned obsolescence business, and they were creating companies in Silicon Valley because they needed to create competition because they had such a monopoly. It's very interesting stuff because it was done on purpose. Like meantime, the failure, they do it on purpose, and people get up in arms about it. And I'm saying, well, that's the nature of the incremental status quo, that you don't make great innovation because you got to sell the stuff in the warehouse previously that you've already built. You know, you just can't all of a sudden innovate and then put people out of business. I mean, people go out of business all the time on a constant basis, but you don't want to. If you're not involved with the planned obsolescence and you're trying to make excellence, you're going to be gone that way too, because people, we were talking recently in the last couple of weeks just about it's called hydrolysis, where you boil water and then the hydrogen actually produces motive power and then the oxygen is the exhaust. And people have known that for years. And GM bought out some people, bought the hydrolysis formula, which is just boiling water and then using the water as fuel. You see, but they bought them out and then didn't make the product. You see what I mean? They just paid them off. And that's been done for years, because they don't want this innovation to upset the apple cart of the way things are in terms of so-called smooth economic factors of the monetary system. I mean, that's well known, and I've explained it more clearly probably than most people in the past, because you've got to really get an understanding of these things so that you're not reacting emotionally about, okay, let's bring them all down routine. I said, well, if you do that, just wave bye-bye in Dealey Plaza. I like that, isn't that? The Grantham Glib Show. That's what they call it, the Grantham Glib Show. The GG Show, right? There we go.
Yes.
Right? You like that? Thank you very much.
Yes, I think you can do that.
Well, it is. It's important because, as I was saying recently, it's a matter of, in the universities, and people are always asking questions to get clarity on things and not really seeking the truth about anything. So I think that we bring that opportunity to pursue the truth, as opposed to privately in universities, they don't really care about that. They're just passing on tradition. Supposedly that's the truth, but it's old, worn-out stuff that really isn't even close, even theoretically. You see what I mean? They won't contend for argument because they don't have time. People forget about it. They're not interested. And we were having a talk even recently in the marketplace with some people that even said that. They said, and then you forget about it, and you go back to class, and you totally forgot about it because there was no point in pursuing it in the first place. They say that becomes a huge problem, and I think it festers after a while because people realize that there's no point. And I think there is a point to it as long as you keep pursuing it and write it down, ask questions, and what have you. So we do create some forums, I think, that pursue excellence or pursue the truth, and I really like that. Getting to the closer to the core matter of what needs to be done, just like in reference to addressing it as I have done, the Geneva Convention of 1930 that produced the money that we have today. I point that out to people all the time, and they still don't understand. A lot of people, I think even a majority of people, don't realize we're not on a gold standard. I mean, think about how I think that's ridiculous. They believe we're on a gold standard because they never even consider it. And then there's bandied around in school, but they're not really being specific about it. They may explain it a little bit, but then they don't realize it doesn't even exist. I mean, think about how ridiculous that is, in my opinion. What do you think?
Well, you know, a lot of people don't even think about it. I'm sure that it doesn't come up I would seriously doubt that it comes up in high school economics, and I guess you would only learn that if you're taking economics classes in college, and not everybody takes economics, but a lot of people do take business. So,
Right. And they'll pursue the theory of it.
I think a lot of people don't know that. Yeah.
Right, they'll pursue the theory of it, and that's why I've created over the years, we have theory, law, and practice. They talk about a lot of theoretical things and give the information on in-depth, but then they don't go to the practice part of it. What do they do really in practice, you see? Because they want to pass on information in the textbook, which would be traditional theory, but not in terms of what the legal ramifications nor the factors of what we were actually doing in practice, which comes up all the time in business and what have you. And then they have your specialists, like the lawyers and attorneys that deal in specialization law, business law, things of nature. So they leave it to the specialists that they pay so they don't have to put their attention upon it. I keep saying they, and I get picked on with the they thing, but they do exist, I suppose, in terms of I'm a they if I'm over there and somebody's using me as third party, right? You're a they over there instead of I'm over here. I like that. That's pretty good. I'm going to review this tape. That was actually, that was all right. I like that a great deal. The they thing, right? Because you know that. They do this. And you put it off on somebody else, you know, and people don't take the government on their own shoulders. They don't take the responsibilities. They want to always pick on somebody else to take the responsibility. Or as I reverse the word and call it, the ability to respond. And what are you going to respond to? What are you going to talk about? Unless it's an attack. And I always warn people, the caveat that I do, that's why I resurrected that slogan years ago about to work together. You see what I mean? It's like a kumbaya, right?
Yeah.
It's so silly, isn't it? Ridiculous. But it's important, though. It really is important to pursue things and to make an effort to find the truth, right? And then always say, well, the truth's objective, right, in terms of people's opinions, correct? But then what are you talking about, right? Well, what are the words that we're using? What's the language that we're using? Are we reacting to it, or as they say, being proactive, which I hate the term, actually. I hear people use the buzzwords, right? I go, time out, buzzwords. And I probably use them all the time, too. And you get used to doing that, but I try to rebel against some of it, right? Or just being active about things. You don't have to call it what you want. Just like a probiotic, it's just fermented foods, basically. Your sauerkraut would be a probiotic, right? The fancy words for things. Yes, I'm an assistant, never mind, it doesn't matter. You know, in terms of putting a fancy label on something, it might not be a big deal at all. So you make a big deal out of something, right? And why?
Yeah.
Well, I can see that in terms of people want to feel chuffed or feel good about themselves. Self-esteem is a good issue. There's nothing wrong with that, I guess, I suppose. It's not necessarily an issue or causing anybody any harm. That's what, in common law, we talk a lot about common law. I probably should put that as one of the tag words. I didn't do that today, but the tag words of common law, what's in common between people? What are we working together to progress society? Or as Prince Charles has a group, the sustained development, which I think is very good. Years ago, I really was cogitating upon that phrase, because how do you sustain development if it's developed, right? And then you say, well, okay, you have to keep things going because it's not perfect, nowhere near it, really, in terms of teaching people and educating and repeating things over and over again. I think that's the pursuance that needs to take place. I really do. I believe that wholeheartedly. And I think people agree with me sometimes. You know, we're all unique. We all have different opinions. And as I said many times before, what I do is really stimulus to get people going, right? They've got to wake up sometime to really pursue it. That's what I did when I was a kid. When I was raised in school, there was a great teacher in history that said, seek truth. And it stuck with me, and I was probably 5 years old at the time. And I thought, well, that's really terrific, and I spent a lifetime doing that. It was just stuck with me. So we never know what kind of kernel of information, what type of a word or an idea that comes to us that will be stimulus for us to pursue something of value. See, it's all, even the wording I'm talking about sounds like motivational. I suppose it is a certain degree, but I think it's more of a positive pursuit, and that to me would be healthy to do that in terms of our logic references. If we're going to deal with logic, we're going to deal with information, I think we need to pursue the best. At the same time, get into it. If people, just like the pious practices, I call it the New Ages and what have you, don't get upset and stay real somber, or as I call it, SDF, serious disease, right? You might feel mm-hmm. good about it, but you know, in terms of, I brought up that thing about, I mean, go ahead, everybody, and look at the documentary Awaken, but I looked at that and I went, well, okay, great. And Yogananda thought he was going to take over America with what he was teaching, and fine, but I didn't see anybody laughing, and I didn't see anybody getting really upset. And I'm not saying you have to get upset, but I think it's healthy sometimes to get upset as long as you don't burn yourself out. It's the moderation in all things, right? The golden rule routine. I'm not selling the golden rule. I think morality is a default of what's natural to people. You know, I don't want to set up some rule book or the Ten Commandments or some nonsense like that. I mean, even Scientology has commandments of L. Ron Hubbard or some silliness. I think it's silly. I really do. Because I think man is inherently moral. So you got to get to that key within one, right, which is just a natural factor. But people are afraid of that. That's why they set up rules and morality. But I'm not in disagreement with the fact of common law, no injured party issues. Okay, I'm out of gas again. So we have 8 minutes left and I'm done. Bye.
Okay, sorry about that.
All right, sorry
okay.
about that, everybody.
Well,
I'm done for the day. I did that this morning a couple of times on the UK call. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Go right ahead. And then
no,
there's nothing
I just,
there.
I guess if you're out of gas, we can just go ahead and say good night to everybody.
But I think it's funny when I do that, though. The people are probably don't appreciate it. Stop that, Grantham. Stop doing that. Stop saying you're done when you know you're not. You just put one more word out there, some more hot air, and here comes the words, right? Or somebody has a writer's block. I can never get that. I always tell people the answer to writer's block is, take your pen and write down one more word on the page, and that will get you going. Trust me, it works every time. Or painters, I can't paint any longer. Okay, here's a brush. Put some paint on it and slap it on that canvas. Go right ahead. Well, I can laugh for 7 minutes, right? Is that how we do it?
Yes. Yes, we have about
okay.
7 minutes.
Or talk very slowly, right? You know, they have
yes.
that USA radio station in Europe, right? Remember we laughed about that before? And on there, this is serious. They really do this. They talk very slowly. Hello, and how are you today?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going, oh, man, please mm-hmm. put me to sleep. And I was going to say, because, you know, I sometimes talk fast. People say, you talk too fast, Grantham. And then I would say, okay, but if I talk like USA today, I would
mm-hmm.
be considered a dumb guy. Pretty good, huh? Thank you very much. If you talk very, very slowly, you'll take up a lot of time, though. That's probably a good idea. Say 3 words in 30 minutes. Take one word and say it very slowly for 10 minutes long. How many people would be paying attention after about 30 seconds? No one, right? So it's ridiculous. It really is absurd, you know, in terms of all that nutty stuff that they do. And they actually have a radio station where they do it. And people probably have heard it before. It's just, cannot listen to it, but it's funny. Nevertheless, it gave me some material for my anecdote, right?
Yes.
All right. Okay, so. all right, well, see, I can probably get back to the subject. I did talk about the planks, because everybody gets on me about, get on the subject, you know, be topic-driven, all right? And we're gonna drive the topic. We're driving. We have a topic car. If they can build a Tesla car, I can build a topic car. Hey, there you go. The topic car, right? which is pure gasoline-driven geothermal car. It's a geothermal gas-powered car, and it actually pours out more gas and more smoke than you can imagine. It smokes and reeks of rubber, you know. It's just a really awful thing. But it's not a burden on the infrastructure because it's already the infrastructure. It's called the topic car. Or I call it on top of old Smokey, right? Smokey car, smoke coming out of it. And it passes all the EPA, but it's still smoke, like a whole lot of smoke coming out of it. And it only gets like, it gets minus 10 miles per gallon, too. And you heard that here on Gretchen Taylor's show. He built the topic car, which is a gasoline-powered car. It's an internal combustion engine with big, gigantic pistons. It just pours out so much smoke, but it's not polluted smoke. It's just smoky, right?
Yeah,
we call it smoky,
smoky
for short.
All.
The topic car is really smoky for short. That's parenthetical, by the way. Smoky. I like that. That's really good. So you heard it first. The show today, I created the word, the book, a card called topic car. They have a Tesla, and I have a topic car. Because it's top. I drive. I'm topic driven. See. I answered that finally. Thank you, Gabrielle. I appreciate you being an audience for that. So I burned up three minutes on that. Pretty good. Huh? Wait, that's very creative.
You did pretty good. You've only got about... Go ahead. You've only got about four minutes left.
They say I'm not topic driven, you know?
You're just driven.
I'm just driven, but not... But I did. I created the car we called the topic. If they have a Tesla, I have a topic, right? And they'll say, what's the topic? It's a topic car, right? Or it gets 10 minus miles per gallon. 10 minus miles per gallon. How do they actually do that? Like you put it in the tank and it has a hole in it?
Is that what they say, 10 minus miles per gallon?
No,
well,
I said it. Hello? Boom, 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 boom.
Oh, are you making, you're making that up? Okay, that's enough.
I am making that up.
If I'm going to be verbally abused on this show.
Yeah,
amazing.
Queen Elizabeth has capitulated America and saying that
America's... Excuse me. It's been very nice talking with you this evening. And I know
you think you're
on a roll. But, yes, I am hanging up. Thank you very much. And I hope you find a great new guest host that will submit to your verbal abusal on the online, on the air.
Whoops. Okay, she stayed. Thank you very much. We were just kidding.
Maybe
just
that will stop
kidding.
You in your tracks.
Yeah. Like a bull in a china shop, right? There we go.
Yeah.
Every
exactly.
time.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Having said all that, the reason for bringing that up in the past in terms of the Geneva Convention bankruptcy is because we've been in it for a long time, and people don't understand that it's very important to discuss that and be aware of it, to be aware of the situation. And people are not aware of it. They're not aware that we have legal tender, albeit all the legalities of it have been suspended since 1930 under what is known as the Uniform Commercial Code. And the UCC is very, very important for people to understand. However, if you go online for it, you should listen to my shows and talking about the UCC because the online in Cornell University, their information is very faulty in reference to the UCC. That's the actual law they use in the courtroom. They don't use military maritime equity law in the courtroom, the admiralty law. That's not true at all. That's a huge mistake. In other words, what they use is they use that as a template for the law, but it's not really the law in the courtroom. So just to be aware of that. And you can even ask the question, then they don't answer you on that because they're not really using that. Sometimes they'll call it statutory law, but that's really the Section 1 of the statutes of the Uniform Commercial Code, bankruptcy statutes, and that's what they're using. All right, Gabriella, thank you for being on the show this week. I appreciate you being here, and I want to thank the journeymen that come each week for being on the show as well, and all the new people. And I wanted to say that it's an honor each week to do the show. Again, thank you for being on the show. I'll give you a chance to answer this time.
Yes. Thank you, Grantham. It is my pleasure to be on the show, even though that sometimes you're not very nice to me on the air, but I'm still
okay,
here.
But I got to go now. I only got 5 seconds. Bye, everybody. Have a great week. Bye for now.